The sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Thus far the words of our text. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I personally am infinitely fascinated with how things came to be. Like, how does stuff happen? Right? It's fascinating to figure it out. I could watch those How It's Made documentaries for half a day sitting in the repair shop at the car repair place. Anyway, okay. So, how did it come to be? How hungry or willing to experiment does a person have to be to look at a crab or a lobster and say, let's eat that? Now, I like crab. I like lobster. But, you know, if I was the guy trying to figure that out, I'm saying I'm opting for a mango rather than trying to go, you know, dig around in the ocean and pull an underwater spider out and say, let's eat it, you know. I don't know. Or, you know, my personal favorite, I like milk, too. But who was the guy? Right? Who was the guy who was standing there and went, baby cow likes it. Right? So I'm going to try it. But not only did he try it, he had to sit there. And he looked at his fingers, and then he looked at the cow's udders, and he looked at the bucket. Let's try this. How do people figure that out? I mean, this is one of the reasons I'm a thoroughgoing creationist. People are brilliant. God created us brilliant. They can figure out problems. They can look at a problem and figure out how to fix it. You know, they figured out how to milk a cow. Then they figured out how to cook with the milk, right? And I don't care if it's goat's milk, camel's milk, horse's milk, whatever kind of milk, except for almond milk. You can't milk an almond, okay? Like, that's no such thing. That's a stroke of marketing genius. It might be called almond juice, okay, but you can't milk an almond. But either way, people are really, really smart. And if you look at Genesis chapter 4, verses 20 through 22, you'll find these words. Ada bore Jabal. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. His brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all those who played the lyre and the pipe. Zillah also bore Tubal-Cain. He was the forger of all instruments of bronze and iron. Jabal was a nomadic herder. He discovered the art of tent making and the rhythm of the seasons in various geographic locations, the art of animal husbandry and the rudiments of veterinary medicine, not to mention how to set up a camp so that your camp doesn't get washed away at the bottom of a hill after a heavy rainfall or at the bend of a river, or it doesn't get blown away by putting it on top of a hill where all the winds come. And he still figured out personal hygiene and latrines for health and well-being, and how all of that worked. You know, these are incredibly brilliant people. There's Jubal, who listened to the wind whistling through vines or ropes or the branches of trees, as well as through the cracks in rocks. And this man considered just how he could emulate those sounds with strings or by carving pieces of wood or pieces of bone out to make instruments. And perhaps the twang of the bow used to defend the livestock from predators gave him the idea that he could make a harp or a lyre. And then there's Tubal-Cain, who was the fellow who figured out that if you melt rocks, or at least what you can find in rocks, you come up with a moldable, shapeable substance that hardens up when it cools down, and that you can make jewelry and tools out of it. Now, it took me, I figured, 38 seconds to write that sentence. But perhaps it took him 38 years of trial and error to figure these things out. So what's the point here? Okay? Humanity can figure out a lot of things. We can overcome a lot of problems and a lot of issues. And our earliest forefathers were absolutely brilliant human beings. But we're lost when it comes to the knowing of the ways of God according to salvation. That's something we would never have been able to figure out all on our own without divine revelation revealing it to us. The idea of grace and of a Christ who is the Messiah had to be revealed to us. Left to our own devices, we would only come up with works righteousness. That's it. Whatever natural religions we can figure out on our own, but all natural religions are works righteous religions. They are religions of the law. Do this. Do, do, do. They are do religions. Whereas Christianity, as you well know, is a done religion. It has been done for us. To natural man, the grace and the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ is not something that would have come about to their minds naturally. God had to reveal His grace to us. And as we confess in the meaning to the second article of the Apostles' Creed, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me by His gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. So we confess that by our own natural reason, by our own strength, we could never believe in Jesus Christ our Lord or come to Him. Without God revealing it to us, we would never understand the sacraments, that the bread and wine of Holy Communion are the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So in, with, and under the bread and the wine of the sacrament of the altar is the true body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is beyond our reason and beyond our comprehension that water applied to an individual, according to the institution of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgives sins and brings people into the kingdom of God, makes them children of their heavenly Father, and gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the means through which God makes Christians. But there's something about divine revelation that causes a trusting in our hearts, a trusting response from hearers of the word. The same thing is true of the Christmas message. What, in essence, is the Christmas message? What are we saying at Christmas? What we're saying is, God is fulfilling the promise that He made to Adam and Eve. That's what we're saying at Christmas. God made a promise to Adam and Eve to send one who would crush the serpent's head. What is the reason for our rejoicing and our happiness at Christmas? The one who would crush the serpent has come. We waited centuries and centuries and centuries for this. And now the one promised by God in the garden is here among us. And He comes in the person of Jesus Christ, the baby born to Mary in Bethlehem. Now, can I believe or come up with on my own that a God would do that? That a God would save? Maybe. But what my reason can't grasp, what can't grasp and believe without the Spirit revealing it to us is what the holy writers were inspired to write down, right? And this is that the Savior of the world is God Himself. The second person of the Holy Trinity becomes incarnate for us. Just what our reason cannot understand is how the infinite God can be contained in Mary's womb. How can He in whom all things live, move, and have their being, He who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Word through whom all things were made, how can He be carried in a woman's womb as a preborn child? How can the finite be capable of containing the infinite? Furthermore, how is it possible that this very same woman, Mary, remains a virgin throughout her pregnancy and childbirth? I don't know. What I do know is that by the gift of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God is granted to us to believe the words that are recorded for us by the holy writers. I believe what the Spirit has revealed to us by God, that the true body and blood of Jesus Christ are right here with us, in, with, and under the bread and the wine of the sacrament of the altar. I do not ask how this is. I simply trust the words of Jesus Christ. This is my body. This is my blood. He who stilled the wind and the waves, who spoke to the dead and they rose again, it is He who says, this is my body, this is my blood, for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. This I believe, because my God has declared it to be so. I do not ask how it is, but rather I ask for the faith to believe that it is. In the same way, I do not understand the how of the incarnation, but by Spirit-given faith, I believe in the incarnation. I believe in the conception and the birth of a Savior of the world. I ask for faith to trust that the Word of God revealed to us in the Holy Bible is given to us by God Himself, that I can trust that with confidence in that Word, that I choose not to investigate too deeply the things that God hasn't revealed to me. I trust what He has revealed, and I leave His mysteries to Himself alone. And we'll find out the answer to those mysteries in the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Someday we will understand, but as for now, no, we don't understand everything and every bit of it. But we ask for the faith to trust and to believe it. What God has made known, though, is the name and the mission of this child. The name of the child is Jesus, which means God saves. For He Himself, God incarnate, will save His people from their sins. His name and His purpose go together. His identity and His work go hand in hand. Jesus proposes on being born. Jesus' purpose in being born is that He is the incarnate God who would save His people from their sins, that He will save you personally from your sins. And how will Jesus save? Jesus will save by giving Himself as the ransom price for the sin of the world. He will shed His blood as the Lamb of God on behalf and in the place of many. God will remove the guilt of sin from all people. And if the guilt of sin is removed from all people, that means the guilt of sin is removed from you. In addition, He will save all people from their sins. As we mentioned last week, where Jesus' healings remind us, not only will He conquer sin and win forgiveness in this life so that we enter death as forgiven people, but we will also be resurrected from the dead, and we will be given glorified bodies, that our body and our soul will be put back together, made perfect the way God had intended it to be before the fall into sin. A life free from the effects of sin is in fact a life free from sin itself. So now we are saved. Do we fully realize this now? No, we do not fully realize this now. We still battle our old Adam. We still battle our sins. We still battle the sin that is in the world. But we are God's children now. And we will, when Jesus returns to judge the living and the dead, we will see our full salvation. Jesus doesn't come just to save our souls from sin. He comes to save us body and soul from sin. So far as all this above our reason, that without divine revelation, we could not comprehend it. It takes God revealing it to us in His holy word so that we understand what is going on here, let alone the fact that Jesus Christ is the ransom for all people. So this day, we give thanks to God for inspiring the holy writers to record for us the plan of salvation, thus revealing the purpose and the reason for the conception, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all so that we would come to a knowledge of the faith and in truth know what Jesus Christ has done for us. And for this revelation, this revealing to us what God has done for us, we give thanks to our God and we say to Him, Amen. Amen. Yes, yes, it shall be so. In that Jesus' name, Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.